Hear these words from Mark 4, 30 to 32. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." We gather again for chapel today. It's not just any Wednesday, though. It's Spiritual Life Week. Our gathering today is special because we have more time for worship. Chapel will be 40 minutes, and third period class will start at 10:50. Spiritual Life Week also gives us an opportunity to invite special guests to come and be among us for a few days. This week, Tom and Christine Sine have enthusiastically accepted the invitation to teach us more about how to follow Jesus with our lives. Tom Sine is a consultant in futures research and planning for both Christian and secular organizations. He works together with his wife, Christine, to assist organizations in evaluating how their world, nation, and communities are changing so they can adapt more adequately to face the challenges of the 21st century. He is also an adjunct professor for Fuller Theological Seminary in Seattle. His newest book is The New Conspirators, Creating the Future One Mustard Seed at a Time. Christine Sine is currently the executive director of Mustard Seed Associates, a small organization founded by her and Tom to assist churches and Christian organizations in engaging the challenges of the 21st century. In a former life, Christine trained as a physician in Australia and developed and directed the healthcare ministry of Mercy Ships. Her most recently published book is Godspace, Time for Peace in the Rhythms of Life. If you visit Tom and Christine in Seattle, you will find them with their golden retriever, Bonnie, enjoying practicing hospitality and cooking food from all over the world. They also have a passion for teaching people how to party the kingdom 24/7. Please join me in welcoming Tom and Christine Sine.
Good morning, EMU.
Good morning.
A little more diaphragm. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be back here. It's been a few years since I've been here, and Christine has not been here at all. And tell them where we came from.
Well, on Thursday, we were in Australia. Friday, we flew to Seattle, spent the weekend there enjoying our golden retriever, Bonnie. And then we flew here on Monday.
And so we're kind of double jet lagged, and so kind of bear with us. We're going to try to get through this. We're kind of Anabaptist Anglicans, but we work with the whole spectrum of the church. Evangelicals, Charismatics, Adventists, Catholics, mainline liberals. We work with everybody, but particularly 20 and 30-year-olds that are creating new expressions of the church, new forms of mission, and we're learning a lot from your generation. And we're going to talk about that while we're together. So hit the button and away we go. Just particularly grateful for the chance to be at EMU because most of the colleges we work with do not have the cross-cultural emphasis that's a characteristic of what you do here.
Well, and we've been telling people around the world about your Center for Peace and Justice, and I'm particularly intrigued about your campus sustainability because I'm a very keen gardener and we produce about 40% of our vegetables for an urban community on an urban lot as well.
And in terms of what you're doing on campus, we are very big on student initiatives such as Walking Disciples and other things. We're going to be not only talking about that, we're going to challenge you to use your imagination to imagine new possibilities for life after EMU. How many are wondering, is there life after Eastern Mennonite? Anybody struggling with that? Okay, let's move on. How many seniors do we have here? Juniors? Sophomores? Do we have any freshmen that made it in? Oh, there's a lot of freshmen. Okay, you guys are living at threshold time. You're on the threshold. You'll be the first generation that graduates into the second decade of the 21st century. Isn't that remarkable? And it's not going to be the same world that your professors and parents graduated into. It's going to be a much more turbulent, volatile world. We want to help you think about that, and we're going to talk about new opportunities, the new challenges you're going to be facing are new opportunities. Good news and bad news, the bad news first. The bad news is, as we'll share in just a minute, the needs of our poorest neighbors are growing. Climate change is making the world a much more difficult place to live. And the church, its ability to respond to these challenges is going to decline in the next 10 to 15 years because the church is going out of business, and we're particularly losing your generation, 20 and 30-year-olds, at a rate we have never seen before. The good news is that God is working through your generation, creating new forms of emerging missional churches. You've had Shane Claiborne here, the New Monastics. God is doing something new through a new generation. We want to invite you to join that and imagine new ways to be part of God's compassionate response in changing times. Back to the gospel.
Well, yes. I mean, what we're going to be talking about is how God can use our mustard seeds to make a difference in our world today.
And we're going to be talking specifically about creative possibilities. We're going to ask you at the end to imagine new possibilities. You may want to keep a list, because we're going to, do you remember Back to the Future Part 1, 2, and 3? We're going to do 5, 6, and 7, and be ready to kind of identify out of the new challenges, new opportunities as you're thinking about life after EMU. Just a story to get us started. Believe it or not, I actually went to college. It was so many years ago, we had to chase the dinosaurs off campus. But one day there was a guy walking down the street. Paul was a friend of mine, and he came upon this huge old-fashioned funeral hearse a few blocks from the campus. He was astonished because the price sticker said $250. Paul couldn't believe it. He literally ran to the bank four blocks away, took out $250, came back, gave it to them, signed the release, brought it onto campus. We realized we had a creative responsibility to justify this impulsive purchase. So after about an hour and a half of brainstorming, we found with very careful packing, we could get 13 students in the back of this thing laying side by side by side. Paul proceeded to drive all over Portland, Oregon at very high rates of speed, accelerating every time he approached a stoplight or stop sign. At the last possible minutes, he'd slam on the brakes. All 13 bodies would come bolt upright at the same time. One guy drove up on a lawn. Another guy swallowed his cigarette. We laid deck back down and waited for the next stop. We created chaos and confusion all over Portland, Oregon. It was so gratifying. The message is God can do more through your imagination, your mustard seeds, than you've ever imagined or believed. So as we go through this list, start to think about possibilities. Keep a list. Let's just go forward. Let me just say the global recession is over in one sense, but don't break out the party hats yet. Many of you are going to find difficulty finding jobs. This may be a time to think about getting to be a Mennonite volunteer. It may be time to think about graduate school, but you're going to need to reconfigure your possibilities for life after. Some of you will have an easy time finding jobs, but for some it may be daunting. Christine?
Well, one of the things that I'm particularly concerned about is that as a result of the global economic crisis, that the numbers of people in poverty around the world are increasing. The UN estimates that something like 55 to 90 million people have been pushed into poverty over the last year or so as a result of the economic recession. And of course, locally as well, I'm sure many of you are aware of the fact that food banks and homeless shelters and organizations that work with the poor are really concerned because of the growing amount of need that they're seeing in local communities as well.
How many of you are thinking about a degree in social work, degree in third world development, business? We need business people to think about social entrepreneurship. With the growing challenges among our poorest neighbors, there are going to be growing vocational opportunities. So think about how to use your majors in response to these kinds of challenges. In economic food co-ops and entrepreneurship.
Well, I already mentioned that we are seeing growing pressure on the marginalized in our own communities as well, and particularly with cutback in welfare and spending on welfare. It's one of the main areas, of course, where governments try to cut back their expenditure.
How many are working in teaching? We need teachers that work in the urban areas. We must see the lift happen for all of the people that live in our country. Tremendous opportunities. And there's not going to be charity dollars to do some of the urban ministries, so starting economic cooperatives, social entrepreneurship needs to be a part of the future. Now, there is growing pressure on the middle class, not only the poor being left behind in this We've moved into a new global neighborhood about 15 years ago. Tremendous benefits to the rich in a new category called the super rich. The poor are being left behind globally and locally, but the middle class are under growing pressure. And part of what we don't talk to you guys about enough is many of you are not going to have the lifestyles you were raised with. You're going to be the first generation that doesn't always achieve a better way of life economically than your parents did, and that's not bad news, that's opportunity. Many of you, let me just explain the economics. Your generation is growing, graduating with more school debt than any prior generation. The cost of housing is going to be much more expensive. When I graduated from a place like Eastern many years ago, my generation, your grandparents' generation, few of us spent over 20% of one income for rent or mortgage, 20% of one income. Many of you, it's going to be 40 to 50% of two incomes. One of the things that you have to reimagine are not just new opportunities with the needs, but new ways to reimagine your life, because the single family detached house may not be sustainable economically or environmentally as we go towards towards the year 2020. So not just moving in with Shane in the simple way, but creating a range of new models of housing, Christian co-housing, new models that provide you an opportunity to reduce cost, increase community, increase sustainability, and increase availability to be involved in mission. So we need to imagine new possibilities. We're also moving into a new majority future. By 2020, everybody under 18 in the U.S. will no longer be dominantly European. By 2040, we'll be the first non-European Western nation. That's very good news. We have gifts to receive from our sisters and brothers from Africa, Asia, Latin America, and new opportunities to create communities. Can I explain what this means? For many of us out of European background going to Christian colleges, if we want what's best for our family, typically graduates from our colleges head for the most expensive, affluent suburban community they can afford that tends to be monocultural. The last place to be raising kids that live in the 21st century are monocultural white communities. So we need to start to see the opportunity to reimagine early childhood education and really starting to get in touch with the opportunities of a new majority future. And my greatest concern about the global economy is not that it just doesn't work well for the poor, it's accelerating the rate of environmental degradation, global warming, but the values impact is huge. Christine, talk a little bit about some of that we've seen in terms.
Well, about 10 years ago now, I was reading an article about the island of Tonga in the South Pacific, and they're talking about the fact Tongans are generally speaking big people, you know, some of the biggest in the world, like 300, 400 pounds is not unusual. But they're talking about the fact that about 10 years ago they started to see a problem they'd never seen before, young women suffering from anorexia and bulimia. And part of the problem was that suddenly the Barbie doll culture and the youth culture had hit Tonga. And so what they were discovering was that young people were buying into the culture that came out of Western countries much more than they were out of their traditional cultures. And that's something that we've seen in every part of the world that we're going to.
It's amazing. One of the accomplishments of the global economy in the first 15 years is the creation of a borderless global youth culture where people your age are all drinking the same soda, wearing the same jeans, and watching the same MTV. It's as though the marketers of McWorld and the merchants of cool have the patent rights to cool and are defining what's important, what's of value, what is good life for young people everywhere. This is an opportunity for those of you in the arts, people in the arts, working in the internet. We need to help people decode the messages that are coming, because there's absolutely nothing out there to help the Christian young or anybody else redefine a new reason for being, a new reason for moving forward. The growing church.
Well, the growing edge of the church is not in Western nations. The growing edge of the church is in Africa, Asia, Central and South America. And the churches that are growing most rapidly in most of our Western nations are ethnic churches that have their origins in Africa, Asia, and Central and South America.
And what this means is an opportunity. How many going into pastoral ministry, church ministries? It's an opportunity to start collaborating as we move into a new majority future with these churches and not just collaborate programmatically, but to discover family, because imagery of kingdom is imagery of coming together as a multicultural family, a new majority future, tremendous opportunities there as well. And the bad news is that the Western Church, including the Mennonite Church and all of the churches, virtually all the churches represented in this room, are declining. They're graying and declining very rapidly. Average church attendance is 17.5%. We are declining in relationship to population growth, and it won't be long before, like churches in Australia and New Zealand and Great Britain, we're going to decline overall in growth, and we are losing 20 and 30-year-olds. We're hemorrhaging and losing your generation. The irony is, while we're losing 20 and 30-year-olds, there's a growing hunger among your generation for spirituality all over the world. The kind of spiritual offerings that we offer, and that's why in the book The New Conspirators, I try to describe what we can learn from younger people about creating new forms of church that begin to engage. Are any of you a part of experimental, emerging, missional churches? We're going to be talking about those more tomorrow, because what we need is your imagination to reimagine and create new forms of church that are much more about making a difference. What I find with the new conspirators that I write about is that they want to see us raise the bar and really challenge the whole church to more authentic whole-life discipleship, where it isn't just a little devotional add-on to my real life. And they want to see congregations that give a rip about the needs in the world, where the focus is outside of the building instead of inside the building. Your generation is in the forefront of doing that. So it's an opportunity to imagine new forms of church. What we'd like to ask you to do in just the last few minutes together, we've just galloped through some of the challenges. There are many more that we haven't talked about. Ask God in silence for just a few minutes. Just picture in your mind your mustard seed, your life, your threshold time. You're going to make many of the most important decisions of your life in the next 5 to 7 years. Decisions about where to work, whether you're going to go to grad school, decisions about singleness and marriage, decisions about how faithfully to follow Christ. These are important years. Just ask God, in the silence of the moment, what is one creative way, in light of the new challenges, from the challenges of the poor to the changing middle class structures, where maybe buying the house that your parents had in mind for you may not be the place to start. Think about new possibilities. Could you just, in silence, ask the Spirit of God to stir in your spirit and mind one new possibility for life after EMU. Even if you're freshman, it may seem a long way off, but you're going to be out of here before you know it. One new possibility in a turbulent, changing world, because volatility is going to be a part of your future. Could you just spend a few moments in silence, asking, Dear God, how do you want to use my mustard seed in a changing world to be a part of the good news of your love and compassion? Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and share what God is stirring up in your heart and mind. You're graduating into a very turbulent world. It's a very different world than your professors and parents graduated into. What's stirring up in your heart and spirit in terms of one new mustard seed possibility? Turn to somebody next to you and share what's stirring. Okay, attention, attention. We would like to hear what's stirring over cocoa in a few minutes. Let me just have Christine just mention, we try to collect stories about the creative edge of what God is doing through 20 and 30-year-olds and really the whole church, and there's a way you can get in touch with that.
Well, we like to be able to share creative examples of what people are doing around the world. One of the privileges of our life is the opportunity to wander a bit and to really scout out, somebody mentioned that word this morning, but really to scout out creative things and exciting things that are happening all over the world. And so every month we produce an e-zine. It's free. It's called the Seed Sampler. And if people are interested in receiving that, we'll have some sign-up sheets out the back where the on the tables where the books are. And every month we deal with a different issue that we feel is something that we need to grapple with in this changing time. Last month we looked at turbulent times and gave creative examples from around the world. Next month we're looking at Advent and resources. And as well as that, we are looking for a new editor for our Seed Sampler. The young woman who's been working with us for nearly 3 years now has so enjoyed editing the Seed Sampler that she's wanting to branch out into other areas of editing. And so if anybody's interested, please come speak to me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you about that and what it would involve.
Let me just tell you one final mustard seed story. Several EMU grads have gone to Camden House in New Jersey. Camden House is located in one of the hardest urban areas. It is one of the most toxic, polluted urban areas in the whole country. It's up in the top five. Camden House is a Christian community. They're living residentially there. Andrea has been there for several years. She works with a Catholic school right nearby where they live in community, and she's teaching kids how to do urban agriculture. The place where they have their nursery and where they have their garden is right adjacent to a toxic waste dump, and there's a fence between them. She got the idea of getting the kids involved in taking compost and clover seed, because clover leaches out toxic stuff out of the ground. And so they did a guerrilla action where they made compost balls in old refrigerators with outdoors, and they made hundreds of these. And then early one morning, before anybody was up, these 50 kids and Andrea got up and they bombarded the toxic field with their clover bombs. After a few good spring rains, all of a sudden that field began to blossom. Don't underestimate what God can do with your mustard seed in a turbulent time. Find good friends, find people that are graduating you can do stuff with. Tomorrow, Friday, we're going to talk about creative examples of how people in your generation and others have found ways to seek first the kingdom and find the good life of God is not found in just going for a higher paid vocation and all of the stuff, the cool suburban lifestyle, but it's in discovering how God can use your mustard seed to be part of the good news of God's kingdom. Let's pray. Creator God, we thank you for Eastern Mennonite University. We thank you for the thousands of grads all over the world that are part of your mustard seed conspiracy, that are working through mind, body, soul, and spirit, and they're seeing the lives of poor people change. They're seeing justice come for the poor. They're seeing peace come in places that have only known violence. And I pray for every one of us in this room in turbulent times, please, dear God, speak to us and help us reimagine new possibilities of how you can use our lives and mustard seeds in ways we may never have imagined to be a part of your hope and love in a world of turbulence and change. In the name of the risen Christ, amen.
Amen.